You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Some anniversaries are an effort to recreate and relive the emotions of the original event, and the one-year commemoration of Vancouver's Winter Olympics was just such an anniversary, pumping up the flat tire of hucksterism for a second time. Other anniversaries are approached as an opportunity for serious reflection on what has transpired since the original event. And this is what Roger Annis, coordinator of Canada-Haiti Action Network, undertook to assess in a recent article, specifically focusing on Canadian responses to the January 11th, 2010 catastrophic earthquake in Haiti. And Roger's joined me in the studio to share his assessment. Good morning. Welcome back to Red Eye.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be here.
To get to the nitty-gritty, what did the Canadian government pledge in aid and what did it deliver?
Well, that's a very good question. It's really hard to sort out the figures, and this is what I attempted to do in my article, is look at the promises that were made immediately after the earthquake and in the months since that time. And really, it's difficult to decipher the figures. There were different stages of commitments made by the government, but basically, what they've done is they've taken the aid budget to Haiti, which was decided in the year 2006 for the next 5 years after that, $555 million, and anything announced for Haiti since the earthquake is basically piled on top of that, and so you end up by the middle of the summer. Both media and then increasingly the government itself saying that they've pledged $1 billion for aid and reconstruction in Haiti. And really, this is just the original aid figure from 2006. Anything new announced is really not necessarily new money. It's they're taking that original budget and just framing it now in the spending on Haiti aid. So certainly less than half of the $1 billion that's been claimed is committed to Haiti for the next couple of years. And if you go through the details of the article, you know, you end up with some tens of millions of dollars that have several hundred million that have been spent since the earthquake itself, and really difficult to discern exactly what is going to be happening and be spent on the ground following that.
I noticed there was a hospital promised, supposed to be state-of-the-art kind of hospital, there's nothing happening with that, for example.
Well, this is part of the problem, is that the promises are made, and you read the press release that says we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but then as you go and look for the project, you may or may not find. So in the case of a hospital in Gonaïves, this was the city fourth largest in Haiti. It lies at sea level. It was destroyed by a hurricane in September of 2004. And so if one goes back into the record, you find a promise by the Canadian government partnered with the Canadian Red Cross to, they say, to rebuild a hospital in Gonaïves. It really didn't even exist at the time. There was a building, but it was a shell of a building. So promise made in 2004. This promise to build a hospital in Gonaïves was repeated in April of 2010. That is following the earthquake. This was to be one of the big post-earthquake projects, $20 million promised. I was fortunate to have a journalist colleague in Haiti go to Gonaïves and investigate this story, and what she found was an empty field with a faded sign on it saying this is the site of the future hospital of Gonaïves, and with the Canadian flag, an announcement that this project would be funded by the Canadian government. So this is one project, and one of the larger ones that we were actually able to go and look at, and we find that it's a bit of a shell game going on. Of course, there are projects happening. For example, there is some shelter being built. There is some medical assistance that Canadian government money has provided. But as the discussion on the anniversary of the earthquake showed, the overall picture in Haiti today is a very, very troubling one. Hundreds of thousands of people still living without shelter, and really no plan in place for the reconstruction of the country, for the rebuilding of a country whose social and economic infrastructure barely existed at the time of the earthquake. Is a very troubling picture.
You mentioned the Red Cross. They're one of the biggest NGO agencies. What did the Canadian Red Cross get in terms of money? What has it spent?
Well, the Red Cross was certainly the largest recipient of donations from Canadians, both individuals as well as institutions. And so, according to its report in December, it received $199 million from individuals, from institutions, as well as from the Canadian government's matching fund. There's no indication in the Red Cross report of how much of the $199 million is the matching fund from the Canadian government. And this is important because many Canadians gave their money to registered charities such as the Red Cross because they were confident, they were promised that their money would be matched by the Canadian government. So, you know, there's a problem of accountability in the Red Cross figures. The Red Cross has built some temporary shelter in Haiti. It has some ongoing programs to do that. They set themselves an objective of 7,500 shelters to be built in the area of Laogan and Jacmel. They have some a small cholera treatment project that they undertook 6 weeks after the outbreak of cholera in Haiti in October. But to date, of the that $199 million, $89 million has been spent or committed, and it's really difficult to quantify exactly where that money has been spent because the reports on the website are really pretty much lacking in information. Another concern with the Red Cross, it's such an important agency in emergencies like this, and of course it does provide important assistance, but the world also needs a critical voice. It's on the ground in Haiti, so it's in the best position to tell Canadians what is happening in Haiti. Is the aid and reconstruction effort sufficient? Is the Canadian government doing sufficient in Haiti? Is the Red Cross itself doing everything it could do? This is not the voice of the Red Cross. In fact, the Red Cross was one of those voices at the time of the earthquake anniversary, which argued that the world has done the best that it can do in Haiti, the best it can be expected to do. And that's an opinion which was challenged very forcefully by many, many important individuals and agencies that are in Haiti. And, of course, the people that that we work most closely with also feel the same about what 1 year of post-earthquake has accomplished. So I think some pretty serious questions that continue to need to be asked.
Canada did send military into Haiti immediately after the earthquake. They said they were doing that to provide security. The military was pulled out 6 weeks later. Security, you say, is a code word. What does it mean?
Well, in the case of Haiti, security has been used as a code word for continuing the policy that was begun in the year 2000 of attempting to block the development of socially progressive government in Haiti. And so you had an aid embargo imposed against the elected government of Jean-Bertrand Aristide beginning in the year 2000, and then the violent military overthrow of his government in February of 2004, in which Canada participated. Security since that time has really been a code word for continuing this policy, continuing this process of excluding the Haitian people from their own political institutions, from their own political process, from their sovereignty. And we saw this repeated again with the fraudulent election of November 28, 2010. Many listeners would have seen on television that election as it unfolded. It was actually well reported on CBC television. It was very troubling reports that we saw. We saw an election in which only 22% of Haitians took part in the vote for their future president. This is the lowest participation rate in a national election in this hemisphere for many, many, many decades, since at least 1947. And now this fraudulent process is going ahead to a second round on March 20th. Canada has been a firm backer of this electoral process. And sadly, we today, as we go towards the second round of this process, we're seeing very few critical voices including among our members of parliament, not a single voice that we know of our members of parliament who are saying, wait a minute, why is Canada financing such a fraudulent process? Why is this going ahead? And so really this security preoccupation is really, they're talking about this, about continuing this political process of excluding the Haitian people from their own sovereignty, from their own government, in order that the preponderant domination of the big economic powers of the world could continue in Haiti.
One of the main groups excluded, of course, was the political party that been established by Jean-Bertrand d'Aristide, who was removed in a coup by American-Canadian-French collaboration. There's stories now of Aristide returning to Haiti. What can you tell us about that briefly?
Well, he's been in exile in South Africa since mid-2004. This is a forced exile. This is not his choice. He was removed forcefully from Haiti by U.S. Marines with the backing of other powers, and the U.N. Security Council, France, and Canada. Since the earthquake, he has repeatedly voiced his desire to return to Haiti and to participate in the aid and reconstruction process. There has been next to nothing done to allow that to take place. Only recently, under great pressure, did the Haitian government issue to him a diplomatic passport that would allow him to return to Haiti. However, the other conditions required for his return, including his own personal security, have not been guaranteed by the Haitian government, nor by the foreign powers that are present in Haiti. And in fact, the foreign powers have voiced quite strongly that they do not wish to have Jean-Bertrand Aristide return to Haiti. As well, the two presidential candidates that have been selected to run in this second round process on March 20th that I mentioned, they too have voiced their strong views that they do not wish to see former President Aristide return to the country. On the other hand, there is a tremendous pressure and desire on the part of many of the Haitian people to have him return. He would not only be able to play an important and positive role in the reconstruction process, but it would be a considerable boost to the morale of the Haitian people who, let us remind ourselves, continue to live in extremely dire and difficult circumstances. And so this would be an important gesture. Sadly, it seems pretty clear now that his return will not be allowed until this March 20th electoral farce, the second round of it, is completed.
I know you have an upcoming event. Can you just tell us the bare bones of that?
Sure. Partners in Health is one of the important medical agencies in Haiti, has been present there for many years, and the Director of Advocacy and Policy for Partners in Health, Donna Berry, will be in Vancouver to speak at several public forums on March 22nd at 7:30 p.m. She will speak at Harbour Centre, downtown Vancouver, 515 Hastings Street. That's an event that's organized by Haiti Solidarity BC. And the following day, Wednesday, March 23rd, she'll speak at the University of British Columbia at 4:30 p.m. at the Hennings Building, very close to the Student Union Building, room 200. This is an event that's sponsored and organized by the Terry Project in cooperation with the Help Here Haiti Coalition at UBC and Haiti Solidarity BC.
Well, thanks a lot, Roger. And I'll give people a way of getting a hold of your article to get more detailed information as well.
Sure. It's good talking to you.
I've been speaking with Roger Annis. He's coordinator of Canada-Haiti Action Network. And if you check their website, canadahaitiaction.ca, you'll be able to find the article called Failed Reconstruction in Haiti.